Praise God. Father, we thank you that you are in the house tonight. Lord Jesus, we know that you have a destiny on lives that are in your presence. You want to touch men and women's hearts. You want to change lives tonight. We're asking, Lord, for the impossible. We're asking for the miraculous. We have not because we ask not. But tonight I'm asking that there's going to be supernatural changes made tonight. There's going to be miraculous changes made tonight. There's going to be supernatural deliverances taking place tonight. And we believe it with all of our heart. For you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've never changed, and tonight you won't change in delivering men and women from the bondage of the hand of the enemy and setting them free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. When I was 17 years old, I decided to leave school. I wanted to become an apprentice hippie. And as you know, I lived in Zimbabwe and I went down to South Africa, and because that's where the action would be. And I wanted to work in the shipyards because I'd heard that that's where you can get drugs reasonably easy. And so I left at 17, I left school, left my home, and I went down to the shipyards in Durban of South Africa, and basically took my first job as I went into the employment agency. And I forget how I got the job, because they only take people 18 years old, but I got the job. And there was only one job that was available for me to take, and that was to be a crane operator with the railways and shipyards, the shipping company. And so I was to train in one of those huge cranes on the wharf. And I would be in training to be able to load and unload all of these ships that would come in from the seas. They would dock, and then I would be one of those on the team and the group that would then begin to unload these ships. To this day, I still do not understand how they employed a 17-year-old to operate one of these cranes. It was incredible. I loved it. I started smoking marijuana and driving cranes. It was an incredible experience. And I got to tell you that it's an amazing story, as you're up so high and you can just see everything, and you've got all this power in your hands, and you can lower that ball. I became such an expert in with this crane. I could take that whole ball in a hook, and I could lower it down, and I could open a door of any kind of like a railway wagon that was there. I could just lift the lock and open it up so carefully with this huge ball. I got so good and so accurate with this thing. There was no hold of any ship that I couldn't lower that hook in to the farthest parts of that place and begin to take out all of the goods that were in there. They'd load it up, and I'd bring this thing out and swing it around and load it on these other wagons. And it was a marvelous experience for me. But at 17 years of age, you're pretty young to be operating such a machine. But it was an incredible opportunity for me. But I want to tell you today that as much as it was a great experience, and you've got to understand that there was no walkie-talkies in those days. And there would just be somebody on board ship, and they'd have this paddle, and he would go like this with the paddle, and then I had to move the crane, you know, the ball and hook across that way. And if he goes down, he'd go down, and if it was just a little bit, he would just tap it down on his hand. And so I'd have to just watch and trust this person as he guided me with this paddle. And sometimes you had different people who were more ornery than others using the paddle, and there was always these guys would just go like this to me, and I would think, well, you know, he's you know, he'd just tell me, he'd wave to me and say, put this here, put this there, and put that down. And so I would deliberately pick up my load and just kind of give it a little bit of gentle swing. Just swing it by his head and back again. And just to let him know who's in control. And so there would be this operation. And we'd have all kinds of cargo ships coming in and out. And every now and then we'd see some of the most derelict ships coming in to port to be unloaded. And I remember this one in particular. It was so derelict. It was so rusted over. Obviously, they were just running this thing into the ground. There was no maintenance on this. And on this particular occasion, I can distinctly remember this ship. It was rusted from top to bottom. And the hatch was so rusted down. I don't know how long it had been on the sea, and I don't know how long it had been just in those conditions, but I remember they tried so hard to get this lid, this hatch off of this thing, and it's all time is money, and they are pressing you to start unloading. You've got to start, as soon as that ship docks, you've got to start unloading that. You get certain hours that you've got to get that ship unloaded and loaded again. So there's an increased amount of pressure on you. You can't just slack around. You've got to just keep working, working, working. And so here I am. I'm getting into a panic because they can't get this lid off the ship. It's rusted down and this thing is locked down and they're banging and banging and trying to get this thing up. Eventually, they open up the hatch of the ship and I'm able to get down there and begin to unload. But during the process of the time that the ship was out there, the goods had perished. And they were no good. And so we had to lower down and get all these things out. They were no good. We had to get a special railway car to load all the junk and then just get it out of there. And this all takes time and all of this pressure going on. And that was just like, you know, one of the days. It was actually in that time when I was a crane operator on the wharfs of Durban in South Africa, was one of the times that God began to speak so keenly into my heart. I remember going into the lunchroom and there was someone had taken a Coke can, cut it in half, bent it in so that make it like an ashtray, and as I was smoking my cigarette and I looked on this little ashtray and had Jesus Saves on this. It's amazing. Christians are everywhere. And I'd be so disturbed in my heart when I would see this Jesus Saves everywhere. Jesus Saves. What is this Jesus Saves business? And but I want to share, I wanted to introduce the message tonight with the story about working on the docks as a crane driver, because I tell you something. All of our lives are like that ship that is rusted. We're so locked down in our lives. Sin comes and just locks us down and then destroys the goods on the inside. But I want to tell you, Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, "The hand of the Lord is not too short that he cannot save." As my crane, as that cable could go down into the... There wasn't a ship so deep that that cable couldn't get down to the very depth of any hold of any ship. That's how long it was. I got to tell you tonight, there is no life so deep, so darkened, that the hand of God cannot go down and reach them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And we know that even though we might have these kind of jobs, we know that God is greater than anything that we are and can do. And I got to tell you tonight that God can reach into any person's life. He can go down into the very depths. I remember this one young man who we knew. We had a small church. This is when we saved, married. We had this small little church. And this woman kept coming to our house. And every time she'd come, there was these bruises on her face. And she'd tell us that her husband beats her. And that he's an alcoholic. And that he's a violent kind of a man. And she would seek refuge with us. She gave her life to the Lord. And she would come to our prayer meetings that we would have. And I remember this so clearly, and just how she would come to our house for protection so many times. And this one prayer meeting time, she came in and she said, I'm staying at your house. I'm not leaving. And I said, well, what about your husband? Isn't he violent? And she said, yeah, he's violent. And he's carrying a knife with him nowadays. I'm thinking, great, you know. I wish I wasn't a pastor anymore. I wish I was doing, you know, driving a crane right now. So we at this meeting, and then we hear the gate rattling, and here is Johnny, the alcoholic. He's the town drunk. And I'm thinking to myself, yep, we've got his wife in here, and he's yelling at the gate. And so the wife says, you better go see him. And I'm thinking, why do I have to go see him? I'm not married to this guy. And he's got a knife up his sleeve. And so I'm thinking to myself, yeah, well, Jesus, if I've ever sinned, please forgive me because I might be coming home tonight. And so I go out to the gate and he's yelling, is my wife in there? If you don't send her out in the next 5 minutes, I'm coming in and I'm going to just make havoc of your life. I'm going to make havoc of this meeting. I'm coming into that meeting. You better send my wife out. I said, now hold on a second. You know, you just can't barge. This is private property, number one. And you just can't come into this house. And so I just tried to put him off. And then in the end, I said, okay. He says, I'm coming into the house. I said, all right. But listen, just we'll talk, we'll pray, we'll be reasonable about this. And he said, yes. And I see the blade up his sleeve. And he's holding his hand like this. And I see the blade. I'm thinking, tonight is the night that she dies, I die, and everybody dies, and we go to heaven. And but you know, like Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord is not so short that it cannot save. He sees every individual that is bound by whatever stronghold of their life, and he reaches down. And it's the most amazing testimony, because all I did was, as we were walking in, I opened the gate, and as he started walking in, I just put my arm on his back, by his neck, on his shoulder, and just began to walk with him like this. And as the farther we walked, as we got closer to the house, his body began to shake. And I'm thinking, God, this is awesome. You know. And so his body is just shaking and shaking as we come up the steps. He can hardly, his knees are so weakened by the time we get onto the porch that he falls to his knees and he begins to sob. And he just begins to weep. And at that moment in time, a couple of us just gathered round about him and we prayed. And we said, God, come in his life. And that man on that night received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes those hatches are so, they are so locked down with rust, and the contents are polluted on the inside. But Jesus Christ can reach in. He is the heavenly crane operator, as it were. And he lowers his hand into any person's life and he brings deliverance. Now in the book of Mark chapter 5, I want to talk about what the enemy wants to do in people's lives. I'll go through this real fast. Jesus gets out of a boat and he comes to a shore. And this is in Mark chapter 5. And as he gets to the shore, he comes across a man who is demon possessed. Not only is he demon possessed, but this man has, his name is Legion, because there are thousands of demons that are living in this man. And see, Jesus is showing his disciples, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is showing his disciples on this occasion, that there is no situation that's impossible for God. And there can be thousands. I love my brother's testimony tonight. Just loved it because it was right in line. You can take the most messed up individual, the person who has been hurt, wounded the most, and it's never impossible for God. And that God is able to set people free. You see, here is this man in Mark chapter 5. He's got an unclean spirit. Who knows where this thing began? Just like our brother testified from a child. Maybe he was molested. But we know that somehow that this man in Mark chapter 5, he became so possessed. He got involved in things that he should never got involved in. He opened up the hatch of his life, and everything that he received at that point in time was nothing more than demonic. Here is a man who is now captivated, held captive by the powers of darkness, by the powers of sin, by the power of the devil. And there's four things I want to show you what the enemy wants to do. Number one, we see in verse 3, it says, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And we see that, beloved, when you are in the grip of sin, when you are in the grip of a tormenting demonic activity, One of the first things he's going to do is he's going to put you out into places of loneliness. The devil will put you into places of isolation and loneliness where you become a recluse. Here he was, dwelling among the tombs. He's not hanging out with anybody. You see, the devil will drive you into these places of incredible loneliness until you become a recluse. This is what the work of the enemy is. When you open your heart and life, all he wants to do is drive you out. Anybody who gets into any kind of sin, you often find that they are a recluse. They're out there by themselves. You might be sitting here tonight smiling on the outside, but you're locked into a battle that is raging on in the inside. And you know the devil has you captive. You know that you're in a sin, that you've opened up your heart to the enemy, and it has captivated you. And you see, this is what the enemy does. He pushes into to loneliness. In the same verse, it says, no man could bind him. In verse 3, no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And so we see here is a man who there's no restraint in his life. Nobody could give any kind of a restraint to this man. Absolutely bound and fettered and put him in chains, and he snaps and breaks those things. And see, the devil will send you through sin into places of isolation, and he will send you into a place to live without restraint. In verse 5, there's a restlessness that comes into his life. And you'll know it tonight, that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got a restlessness. Every person that comes to Christ comes into an incredible rest. You speak to any Christian tonight, and they'll tell you that when you come to Jesus Christ, you come into rest. That restlessness of what to do, where to go, that driving force that is on the inside comes to an absolute halt, and you come to rest. But see what the devil does, he drives this man into a place of restlessness. In verse 5 it says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. There's an anger in this man. How many young people do we see just cutting themselves? Folks, this is the work of the enemy. How many young people just will, it's a form of control. It's inspired of the enemy. These are things that kids do today, and they cut themselves. This is exactly what this man is doing. He's driven by the devil. He's driven by demonic activity that's going on in his heart and life. But God, nothing is impossible for God. And this is why I love to see Jesus. He gets out of the boat, he comes and he stands on the shore, and he directly confronts one of the worst case scenarios. And this is just like one of those ships that came into port, totally rusted up, broken down, hardly able to stay afloat, latched down. And this is what this man is like. Jesus is giving us an example that nothing is too difficult for him. Now, this is where it gets interesting. You see, there's some people who are driven. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and the altar call was made. I remember so clearly. I was sitting in my seat, and the next thing, I was standing to my feet as the altar call was made. And right in my ear, I could hear this voice saying to me, what are you doing? Where are you going? Don't go forward. This is crazy to go forward. And I know that here is a man who is absolutely demon-possessed, but look what it says in verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. I want to tell you, you might be driven tonight. You might be held captive by the enemy. You might have been doing his will for years. You might have been absolutely driven in this direction and in that direction by demonic activity, by forces of hell, by sin that has captivated your heart. But I tell you, you might see Jesus as someone who is afar off. You might just be seeing God as somebody who is way up over there, far off, way away. But the devil, even though he is driving you, he cannot stop you from coming to God. He cannot stop you from coming to God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you've been bound by. It doesn't matter what you've been held by. But there is a miracle waiting for you. I am believing tonight that God is going to open rusted hatches. And even though everything on the inside of that particular boat of yours, that life of yours, God tonight is going to go in and He's going to take everything out that has been a stronghold of the enemy. And tonight He's going to put in His Holy Spirit. You're going to be changed. You're going to have life. And He's going to take you in a new direction. Glory be to Jesus. And this is what He does. This man comes running and he worships Jesus. I like it in one of the other Gospels. As soon as he comes to Jesus, Jesus says, "What is your name?" He says, "Legion." And I think this is not only for his own sake, Jesus trying to get his name, but I think it's also for the disciples. They need to know. You see, folks, we are fighting this battle of unbelief, but Jesus wants us to know that even when everything is stacked against you, you've got everything going against you. You might be in debt. You might be in sin. You might be captivated. You might be saying in your mind, "Well, you don't know how bad I am. You don't know the depths that I've gone to. You don't know the abuse that I've suffered." You see, Jesus wants, He says, "What is your name?" He wants us to know and see that when this man says legion, he's talking about a multitude of difficulties that cannot be answered by human reasoning. And only the power of God can set him free. And Jesus looks at this man and he says, in one of the Gospels, he just says one word, "Go." And every demon flees. Every devil goes out of that man's life. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that this man is in his right mind in verse 15. "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed of the devil, that he had legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind." In one moment of time, deliverance is yours. In a moment of time. Now tonight, if you're bound, you're in sin, the devil has been driving your life, God wants to bring you into a place where you are in your right mind. He wants to take every power of darkness and, as it were, lower His hand into your life and take everything out that has held you bound and captive and set you free tonight. God wants to do it. What is your name? Legion. Why? Because there are thousands of problems, difficulties, situations that cannot be handled in the natural mind, in the natural man's strength. No counseling can get this man free. You can sit with him 1,000 years and you can give him every kind of counsel that you like, but he's never walking free. It takes Jesus to say one word, "Go," and those demons flee. No power can hold that man down. Amen? Hallelujah. Tonight, I believe that God wants to set you free. God wants to... Let me just read one psalm in closing, and then I'm going to pray for you tonight. Let me just read a psalm to you. Don't turn there, but let me read to you real fast. In Psalm verse 40, it says, "This is David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." David is a testimony, a man who God set free. He took him out of a deep miry pit and He put his feet on a solid rock to stay. Now listen, folks. This is a story in the Bible that God gives to us that we can stand and believe that your situation is not impossible to God. Now how many tonight, you know that you are bound by the enemy and you want to be free? How many of you are here tonight? You've been waiting for a message like this because you know that you're in a very dark situation and you need the power of God to set you free. We're going to open this altar up to you tonight, and I believe that as you step out of your seat, you're going to fight all kinds of hell. Don't go down. Don't go down there. Don't get out of your seat. Don't move. But you know what? You stand against that devil. You stand against every lie of the enemy and you say, "I'm going down because I'm going to meet with Jesus Christ and He's going to set me free tonight." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Stand with me all over the house. Just stand where you are. Don't move. Just stand with me tonight. I want to ask you a simple question. All over the house tonight. One simple question. You know you're bound. You know that this message, this isn't a message for everyone, but this is a message for some here tonight. You know that you're being driven by the enemy, and you know that you need Jesus. If that's you, I want you unashamedly, absolutely unashamedly, put your hand straight up in the air. Just put it straight up in the air. Look at these hands. All right, now I want you to just keep them up. Don't budge. You know that you need to get saved. You know that you need Jesus to deliver you. You know that you need to give your life to Christ. If that's you, you know that you need to be free, and you need Jesus to save you and deliver you, just step out of your seats right now, and you come down to this altar. We're going to sing a song. Step out, right out, and you come to this altar tonight, and Jesus is going to set you free. You've got to come by faith, believing that He is going to come into your life, and He's going to set you free tonight, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You come. Beloved, you've been crying out to God. Tonight is your night for salvation. Tonight is the night that Jesus comes in and He breaks every bondage. When Jesus comes in, there is no bondage that can stay. When Jesus comes in, there is life. When Jesus comes in, He breaks every fetter. He forgives every darkened sin that you've ever committed. Every deep place that you've ever gone, He cleanses, He removes, He takes out, He reaches in and He removes those things. 2,000 years ago, it was nailed to the cross. Now I want you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I come to You tonight. I need You. I know that I have sinned against You, and the enemy, the devil, has had a stronghold in my life. I repent. I turn from my sins, and I turn to You in simple childlike faith, and I ask You to come into my life. Forgive me of the dark places, the deep sins I have committed against You. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. And now, Lord Jesus, I receive You and Your power and Your life into my life. Dispel every stronghold. Lord, right now, I believe every chain, every work of the enemy is being broken. And devil, you leave right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. Some of you people, you've been so deep down, so hurt, so far down into the pit. But God, His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He has saved you tonight. He's delivered you. He's set you free. Walk in that freedom tonight. When the enemy comes in and says to you, nothing's changed, you tell him you're a liar. I've got new cargo in my life. I've got new cargo in my life. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The old cargo perished. The old cargo stunk. But Jesus has loaded me with new cargo. He's taking me to places I could never go myself. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tonight, we have counselors who are going to pray with you. If you want to go for prayer and have someone put a Bible into your hand, the Gospel of John, and help you to read, and just to stand with you, and just to get that assurance, we have counselors. If you just go out any one of these exits, you make a left, go downstairs into our low rotunda. We've got men and women there who will stand with you, pray with you, and just encourage you in your newfound faith. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, let me pray for you. Lord, I thank You tonight that people have responded. The enemy's stronghold has been broken. Lord, we have taken back what the enemy has stolen. And you have come and brought life to so many tonight. I pray that, Lord, you give them grace and strength, that when the lies of the enemy come, they'll be able to resist, not in their strength any longer, not through any program, no 10-step program, but they'll be able to stand in your strength, and you'll speak to them, and you'll guide them. Lord, I believe right now that you're going to speak to them, guide them, and lead them from this moment onwards. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's give him thanks one more time. Hallelujah.